7 o'clock in the morning. And
good afternoon.
You sound so sad, Adam.
I am sad. I'm not doing so well.
I'm juiced, man.
Oh my god.
Listen.
I'm good.
The juice is on the loose, and it's in my body because I am so.
You're going to want to rephrase that.
No, I won't. Rephrase it exactly how I want to, as a matter of fact. Welcome to Wise's Thing. We are here. Nick is not. Adam is here. Zach is here. We're having a great time. I'm having a great time, at least. We're here to talk about R. Kelly, Trapped in the Closet. But first, how y'all doing?
Good.
Bad.
Yeah. Great.
Very bad. Very bad.
Why are you bad?
Why are you bad?
Oh my god, this is like the last 2 weeks, man.
You know what I just realized?
What?
What's up?
You always ask us how we're doing, and you never answer it yourself. Just like, how you doing? Okay, let's continue.
Because, like, I wear my heart on my sleeve that way, and it's very easy to tell that I'm having a great week, and I'm enjoying the misery of my friend.
Isn't that clear?
I am reveling in the misery of Adam.
It's always fun
for me. It's so great.
You piece of shit.
I love how R. Kelly is destroying you, like the lives of all the underage women that he surrounds himself with. I think it's just a wonderful thing. Let's get right into it because I have so much to say.
Okay.
One of those weeks, guys, where it's like we found something that is a cornucopia of podcast goodness.
Oh, yes. My God.
A bottomless pit of joy.
Holy shit.
It's time to talk about Trapped in the Closet. Here's what we're going to do. I don't want to talk about the sex cult yet. I don't want to talk about all the R. Kelly news. Google search R. Kelly this week, and we'll get to it at the end, and it'll be great. Here's what I want to do. I have notes. We watched 22 parts of R. Kelly's...
Trapped in the Closet.
Trapped in the Closet, but what did he call it? A hip-hop...
Hip-hopera.
Hip-hopera.
A hip-hop soap opera. Here's what we're going to do. Let's break it down one part at a time. You ready?
Okay.
Sure.
Let's do it. Trapped in the Closet, part one. Let's explain...
Chapter one. Because they're pretentious.
Yes. Yep. Okay, Zach, what is Trapped in the Closet?
Trapped in the Closet is a hip-hopera.
Okay, no, we got that part.
Yep,
what does that mean?
It's a series of 20, well, now 33, but he has a shit ton more. But we watched 22 basically music videos follow the same beat of a story about this guy played by R. Kelly who's trapped in the closet. He was caught cheating, and it just goes downhill from there, and it's phenomenal and a masterpiece.
They're not music videos, though.
No. Yeah, but yeah.
They're not at all.
Yeah, no.
It's not.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's...
Well, no, the first, like, few are.
It's
sort, like, very loosely music videos.
They're all the same song.
Yeah.
It's like, one song,
it's
right?
It's like one extended piece from a musical. Just
yeah.
Very,
yeah.
Very long musical number.
It's yeah, basically exactly. Les Mis. If yeah, the opening essentially. Scene of Les Mis was an hour and a half long.
Yeah. Essentially.
And not at all about the French Revolution. It's basically, I mean, it is an opera in that way.
Yeah.
Like, it's just R. Kelly singing the parts of all of the characters, narrating what's going on, and there's not a single spoken word of dialogue in this whole thing. Mm. It's
yeah.
all to the same beat. And it's weird. It's like, I've adjusted now to the beat, and it feels weird just talking, having a conversation because I can hear it going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want a podcast like this, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Because that's how the whole thing is. Here we go. Part one. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. We open.
Mm. Well, this is Adam's job.
Oh no! Don't do this to me. Oh,
it's in your contract,
oh,
Adam.
Oh God! Oh
Nick's
my!
Not here, so describe chapter
I have
one.
I have a cheat sheet for you. If
yes,
you
he
like
does.
It.
Oh Jesus! Give me the cheat sheet,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
Please, I'm begging you. okay, so. Jesus fucking Christ.
Nico, do you want to take... Adam really doesn't want to do it.
He's having a bad week.
Yes.
I don't
so,
wanna,
Nico,
I don't
do you
want to
do it?
I'm going to be responsible for his death by the end of this week. That's how much I've caused him a headache.
Like, I don't even know how much involvement I'm going to have in this podcast. It's just me, like, sulking the whole fucking time.
No, yeah. It's Nico and I having a conversation, and Adam's just in the back and going, oh.
Fuck all this bullshit.
What was better, this or Dunkirk? Which did you enjoy more?
Wow, you really didn't like it then, did you?
What had a better score?
I won't be that much of an asshole.
Okay, part one, ready?
Dunkirk.
We open to a cityscape. We're not exactly sure what city it is.
Chicago.
Chicago. the title card emerges, trapped in the closet, and we're in a bedroom. It's a bedroom where steamy sex is happening between a man and a woman.
Happened. It's yeah, just it's, him it's, in the bed.
Yes. Right. okay, that much is inferred. It's done off screen. Yeah. Woman wearing a wig. Man ready to leave the house. The woman stops him in his tracks, says, "My husband is home. He will catch us in the act, and bad shit might go down. Get in the closet."
Yes.
The man is R. Kelly.
Yes.
And R. Kelly walks into the closet, hides like Kyle MacLachlan in Blue Velvet.
That was my comment.
Yes. As Dennis Hopper.
But no one's going to get that, yes, by the way.
As Dennis Hopper talks about doing it for Van Gogh.
Yeah, no one's going to know what the hell you guys are talking about.
There'll be some people out there. Only, like one.
Only the hardest core of Lynch heads.
Sure. Yeah.
And if you do get it, I love each and every one of you. He's in the closet. Steamy sex then begins to happen between husband and wife. Wife removes her wig. Shit starts going down. It's steamy. It's sexy. And R. Kelly's in the closet watching all of this, narrating each and every word.
Yep.
In melodic rap.
Yep.
His phone rings.
Mm. Yep.
R. Kelly is going to be revealed. The jig is up. The affair is about to hit its breaking point, and we're on to part two.
And chapter one, yes.
And chapter one. There's a secret going down here, guys. There's a secret, because the husband, enraged by R. Kelly in the closet, opens the door. There's a conflict. Guns are drawn, or one gun is drawn specifically, on the part of R. Kelly. Not exactly clear as to why the gun is drawn. There is a confrontation. And the husband, in a fit of rage, says, "Stop right here, I have a secret."
Yes.
This is immediately a very odd conflict, and it sets up what is a 22-part epic that has no chill whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty
basically.
Much.
What's going on with R. Kelly here, guys?
Like, what are his motivations?
Yeah.
His character's motivations or R. Kelly's motivations for making this?
Either. Well, let's talk about the character first.
It's on you, Adam.
I have no fucking idea. I have no fucking idea what we just watched, guys. This floored me.
It's so odd.
There are so many layers of backstabbing and infidelity that if I were any of these characters, I'd be so confused that I wouldn't be mad at anybody.
Right.
I think one of my favorite parts is within the first, like, 15 chapters. Oh. Yeah. There's two characters who we've met who weren't cheating on somebody with somebody who we also have met.
Evidently, in the city of Chicago, there are 8 people. There are only 8 people that run the entire city.
And all
city,
sleeping with each
and
other.
And they're all fucking one another. And which, it's just so odd about it. There's so much anger and rage in this.
Yeah.
And I think we'll maybe get into this a little bit later as we talk about R. Kelly's actual motivations for making this. But he is clearly a very angry man.
Yeah.
And that comes through in his writing. If these characters are extensions of himself, God damn it, do I not want to be an R. Kelly sex cult. You know, I want to stay as far away from this as possible.
Why does he always want to shoot somebody?
Yeah, it's like every chapter he pulls out his gun on somebody.
What does this remind me of? I've seen this motif before. God damn
of
it.
Where there are guns drawn constantly?
Like, just randomly. Like, the joke is that people just keep drawing their guns. And like, where the fuck are you getting your guns? Where have I seen this before?
Anything by John Woo.
No, but...
You have the trope in a series of unfortunate events where two characters draw weapons until a harpoon is drawn.
I'm
just thinking of that joke. I can't.
Well, no, it's like any sort of like gangster movie.
Sure.
Like they're always pulling guns on each other. Like yes. That's like the
I was thinking of one movie specifically. I think it was actually Scary Movie 4.
Well, okay.
Oh then. No, they did. They did that in one of them. Yeah, I can't remember which one. Yeah, they just keep pulling guns out of nowhere. It's like,
where the fuck are you getting these guns, and why are you pulling guns on people so frequently?
Yeah.
It's really the end-all be-all to every problem. And it's, you know what?
Just pull out your gun. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
Yes.
It's like...
not only does it solve the problem,
yes,
it creates the problem and then solves the said problem.
Right. Yes, that's exactly correct. That's what happens here. So the husband of the cheating wife, the wife's name is Kathy, the husband's name is Rufus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rufus gets enraged, confronts R. Kelly in the closet. R. Kelly draws his gun to essentially settle him down and to avoid a conflict, but that just makes it way worse. Yelling ensues. It's about the affair. It's about a lot of things. It's just a general sense of anger. And as R. Kelly's about to be like, yo, I'm out of here. Like, peace, y'all. They don't let him leave. And it's like, why are you not letting the dude with the gun get the fuck out of your house? It's like, it's so weird. Like,
well, normally, because then we don't get the reveal.
I guess. But why is it like, how often does somebody want to keep the hostile with the weapon in the house?
Yeah, like, and it's not even, he's not even saying like, oh, I'm leaving and you're coming with me. He's just like, that's what I'm leaving. And they're like, no, scary man who has anger issues with the shiny pistol. Stay here and get more mad at us, please.
Don't you want to know how all of this started? And he's like, no, no, I don't, as a matter of fact.
I was confused, like, because I thought for a second that they didn't want him to run into whoever was going to come to the door.
No. They
literally just wanted him there to see what was happening.
Yes.
Well, that's stupid.
Yeah, you are attributing way too much logic to this thing.
Yeah.
So the husband goes, I got a secret. And I have to tell my wife, I have to get it off my chest, and also her lover that I just caught in bed with her. Turns out, Rufus is gay.
That's convenient.
Yeah.
And his lover, Chuck, approaches the door, opens it, and now we're on part three.
Now we're on to part three.
Yep. We're going through every single one of these.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, God, yeah, we have to. This is going to be a long podcast, by the way. Settle in.
So there's more yelling, because naturally, when you find out that your husband is a gay man and you're a woman, it tends to be a bit of a confrontation.
Yeah. Well, not only a gay man.
Yes.
But is also cheating on you at the same time as the reveal of being gay.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Real double whammy.
Yes.
That's the thing that I feel so bad for women that have gay husbands, but like they're with losers anyway, but still, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably not a happy marriage. Most, put it this way, man, I'm sounding really offensive. I don't mean to sound this offensive. Most women with gay husbands have very bad taste in men.
Do you know a few women with gay husbands?
I know one.
What?
I know one.
What?
Whoa, wait a minute.
What?
I know one woman that got a divorce because her husband was gay.
The plot thickens.
Yes. I know these people. And I just think to myself, like, why weren't you looking at the signs? Like, clearly he was watching a little too much Baywatch or some shit like that. You know, he got very excited every time Magic Mike was on FX. And you're not picking up on the signs. You probably have pretty bad taste, and the husband is probably a little bit of a loser. Like, that's the thing. But anyway, not to say all gay men are losers, by the way. I didn't mean for it to sound that way, but it kind of sounded that way. I apologize for being homophobic.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course.
Father's a loser.
Father's a loser. So, where am I?
Oh, chapter 3.
Yes.
Start of chapter 3.
So they're yelling at each other, and R. Kelly's like, I'm going to shoot somebody. And we're like, why are you going to shoot somebody? There's no reason for you to do that. This does not require violence in any way.
And he's the only one who's threatening anybody.
Yes, even though he's not involved in the situation. Yeah. He fires a warning shot into the sky saying, everybody settle the fuck down.
Which is weird because they're in apartments.
Right.
Like, someone's probably above them.
Yes, there's probably a cat lady that is very frightened right now. And so He's just like, yo, I'm out of here. Y'all can deal with this shit yourselves. Actually, I think that was the exact lyric from the line, from the movie.
The lyric from the line.
Yeah, the lyric from the movie. Ed, so he calls home to let his wife know that he's on his way home to see her. When a man picks up the phone, dun dun dun.
End chapter three.
And we're on four.
Now hold on, we forgot to talk about the fact that Rufus is a pastor.
Oh right.
The church, and Chuck's the deacon.
But did we learn that in chapter three?
I think so.
Oh, did we? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly what it is. Yes. Yeah. That's revealed very, very early on.
yeah, it's.
Not exactly a detail that we needed, but I will say as we continued on in the Trapped in the Closet franchise.
It helped.
I guess we learned a lot more about the cinematic universe of this world and a lot more about the origin story of these two. We're on to chapter four. In a fit of rage, R. Kelly starts driving home with very shoddily keyed green screen in the background. They could not afford, apparently, to shoot outdoors. They only afforded, like, three sound stages or three sets on a sound stage.
But see, here's my question, right? So R. Kelly pulls up to, like, this big house. Couldn't they have just used R. Kelly's house?
I would have thought.
Yeah.
Yes. They didn't have to rent a house. They could have just used his house.
Right, right. It's weird. Yeah, they use green screen for a garage door. It's like, why can't you just use the house that you took a picture of? Why couldn't you just shoot it actually in front of the house? Like, well, you took that picture of somebody's house, right? But he's on his way home and he gets pulled over by a cop.
Yep.
And the cop... I don't know how to say this other than it's Omar from The Wire that plays the cop.
Yeah.
Michael K. Williams is in this shit. And I go, what the fuck is... Now I'm really thrown off because I thought that this was just going to be like... and they call it an under five in cinema when an actor gets under five lines of dialogue. It's like a real cameo. It's even less than a cameo. It's like Ben Stein in Ferris Bueller's Day Off is one of the best under fives. I'm like, oh my God, why does Michael K. Williams have an under five in this? It was in 2005. It was well after The Wire debuted. Yeah. He was an established actor at this point. He's a very respected actor, especially on television. But he's just hanging out. He pulls R. Kelly over and sort of lets him go. And that was the end of that. Gets home and begins having very hot, steamy sex with his wife. A lot of hot, steamy sex in this thing. What?
R. Kelly, he doesn't have sex with her immediately.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He comes in and he thinks she's in the shower with somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
But she's not actually in the shower with someone. It was weird hallucination, essentially.
Yeah.
That was stupid. I don't know. But then she's not in the shower with anybody. And then they start having sex just randomly.
Well, no, then she says that it was her brother who picked up the phone, who just got released from prison and is coming over.
Okay. And then
sex.
But then it's revealed that there's a condom on the bed, which is, you know, obviously very suspicious.
Oh, my God, a robber!
Yeah, the only thing ever to call a condom a rubber. I've never heard it. Like, I've always known it was another term for a condom. I've never heard it actually called that.
Like, in person. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. She also says, I just climax. And there's another thing I've never heard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Women don't say that.
Makes no sense. This one did. And my God, was that sex hot, guys. Okay. So we're on to chapter five. R. Kelly is freaking out at his woman. Because R. Kelly has anger issues, as we've established. He begins shouting profane things at her.
Our favorite part of the entire
this
thing.
Confused the shit out of me, especially in the context of the rest of what we saw.
Right. Yeah. So every other chapter in this music video has profanity in it. There are F-bombs.
Or if not, they just edit it so it says nothing.
Yeah, but
even then, very
very rarely because the word fuck was used in other parts, and the word shit was used, and the N word was thrown around, obviously, and
plenty of fuck spoken.
Yeah,
yes.
Plenty.
Right. But in this particular chapter, R. Kelly decided to bleep out his own swear words. So he would be like, you know, you're a bitch.
I think he said boop.
He said boop.
Boop. He said boop.
He's like boop.
Yeah. Get the boop off this bed or something. You know, yeah. Like a, very, very odd.
It was, yeah, it was weird.
No reason for it whatsoever.
Greatest part of the entire thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
was him censoring himself.
Yes.
One of the best things, not the best, as we get to the cop's wife's house.
Oh, okay, skin. Yeah.
That is the best thing.
That's the best part.
That is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
But, yeah, we'll get there.
Yes, we will.
But we'll get there, yeah.
Yeah, that chapter was great, wasn't it?
oh, so my God.
The gun comes out again, obviously.
Yep.
More rage, and the wife reveals that the man that she was having an affair with is a friend of hers husband?
No, her friend, Kathy.
What about Tina? Isn't Tina involved in this somehow?
Well, okay, so...
Oh, right.
Yeah. Tina, so she begins to talk about Tina and Roxanne, who she was friends with in high school, who introduced her to Kathy, and then Kathy and her became friends, and then Kathy introduced her to the police guy.
Right.
Yes.
A.K.A. Omar from The Wire. Turns out, yes, the man that she's having an affair with is the cop that just pulled R. Kelly over.
Yes.
And scene. Next, chapter 6. Brother's out of prison, apparently. He's walking out of prison. There's a green screen in the background yet again.
Actually, no, that was like on... No, that wasn't a green screen.
That was on location?
No, they shot him walking 10 steps.
It was just transitioned by a horrible wipe.
Yeah.
Underrated part of this whole thing, the incredible wipes. I thought Max Magician had, and you'll hear that next week, I thought Max Magician was going to be the gold standard. I think we outdid it. There was a wipe in this where it was literally an X coming on the screen, and I'm just like...
I have that in my editing software.
Wow, the quadruple wipe.
It's so bad.
Incredible. Brothers out of jail, a lot of yelling... but then at the end of the day, you know, I'm sorry, what's the wife's name again?
Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn.
They say Gwen.
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 It's, yeah.
Gwen is yelling at R. Kelly. R. Kelly is yelling at Gwen. They both come to the conclusion that, we both had affairs. We've been sleeping around. And they think this is such a hoot.
Yeah.
They're laughing. They're chuckling.
It's like the song Escape.
yes.
Well, sort of. But where they're both cheating, but then it's like they're with themselves, so they're like, oh, it's fine.
And then they have found in their affairs, their escape from one another, that at the end of the day they have a lot in common because they both cheat and they fall in love again.
Yeah.
They bond over their mutual hatred for one another and lust.
That's how it works, guys.
Yeah.
It's really a romantic story. So they're laughing on the ground, and in a very convoluted plot twist here, Jake turns around for some reason... Goes back to the home that he just fled.
James.
Jake.
James.
Jake.
James.
Jake.
James.
His name is Jake.
Is James.
His name is Jake.
I will look it up right now.
I will cut you. It's
Jake. Keep talking while I bring it up.
Okay.
I'm going with James.
Okay.
James.
It's gotta be James.
I wrote down Jake on my cheat sheet.
You're fucking wrong.
Okay. He comes home, mistakes the chuckling of Gwen and R. Kelly as crying.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
And again, in Gwendolyn's joy, she screams out, I'm sorry, what's R. Kelly's character's name?
Sylvester. She says, you're killing me.
Yeah, Sylvester. Yeah.
You're killing me.
Yeah. Omar from The Wire takes this literally. He goes into the room, says freeze, takes out his gun, which prompts Sylvester to take out his piece. They're in an old Mexican standoff here. Name is James. Thank you for that.
Jake. He's a cop. He doesn't work for State Farm.
Okay.
Thank you, Adam, at least.
That wasn't bad.
No, it was awful, but thank you for enjoying it.
No, it was good.
They lower their weapons and then begin wrestling. And as the old Hollywood trope goes, the gun goes off. And that's the end of that chapter. Now we're on to chapter 8. and we find, or seven, and we find out that there was a person on the receiving end of that gun. A man in that room has been shot. And we don't realize until halfway through this chapter that it is not any of the players that we thought were in the room. It ain't R. Kelly. It ain't James the cop. It ain't Gwendolyn. It is Gwendolyn's brother who at some random moment arrived at some, in the room, back from prison. Blood is all over the place. A panic ensues. You just shot my brother. He was getting his life back together, and now you killed him.
Except he was shot in the arm.
Yeah.
Tis a flesh wound after all. The man is totally fine. His name is Twan?
Twan.
Twan. What a stupid fucking name.
He's okay. He goes, I can deal with it. I don't have to go to the hospital. I just need a bathroom. Cleans up his mess. They're all having a grand old time until the door knocks and the four players who have now, I think, gotten over their mutual differences go to the door to find that it is Rose the nosy neighbor. And turns out Rose the nosy neighbor will become very important later on in the story.
Yeah.
The big bad of this story, if you will. Mm. Again, more on that later. That's the end of chapter 8. Chapter 9 is when shit goes down.
Is this it? This is it?
This is it.
Oh, this is it. Oh,
boy.
Now,
we could have stopped here. I almost wish we had stopped here.
We could have. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read...
the lyrics?
My favorite lyric from this entire 22-part hip-hopera.
Okay. It's not the one at the end that we all love, is it?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, no. Oh, no. Definitely is. Okay. Here we go.
Well, hold on. No. We have to wait.
Okay. All right.
We have to explain it.
Okay. Yes.
So you can't just start with that.
Oh, we have to explain everything that leads
yes.
to this moment.
Okay. All right.
This is my favorite chapter of the entire thing. Right. It's so great.
I think it's all of ours.
Apologies. Yeah. So James, a.k.a. Jake, a.k.a. Omar from The Wire, goes back home. In a rage, sort of. Actually, no, he doesn't know what's going on.
No, he has no idea.
Back to his bodacious wife, who has just cooked him a cherry pie.
Oh, yeah.
She is acting a little bit nervous, a little bit suspicious. Even though she just called James about 5 minutes ago, she does not expect him home this early.
Yeah.
She, again, is...
I will say, the timeline's an issue.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Dark Knight Rises-esque.
Yeah, pretty much.
In that way. Pretty much. No real sense of time and all this. Like, how long is Bruce in the ground anyway? So, again, she's an easy book to read. And Omar quickly sniffs out, wait a minute, there has been a man here. The smoking gun in all of this is the fact that the cherry pie has a slice already eaten and... of course, what's her name? Rose? No, not
Bridget.
Rose. Bridget. Duh.
Bridget.
Bridget.
Yeah, how can you forget that?
Is allergic to pies. Now, I want to say...
All pies. Oh. She can't have any pie.
Oh my God.
She's allergic to cherries. She's allergic to pie.
That's the best thing I've ever heard Nico say. Oh my God.
She can't have chicken pot pie. She can't have shepherd's pie. She can't have apple pie. She's allergic to pie.
It's the worst rash. The worst rash.
I'm losing it.
Okay.
So. Nico, that may be the funniest thing you have ever said ever. Ever. Well, it's up there.
That was amazing.
It's up there because there's some pretty other funny shit, but that's fucking great. Top three. That's top three.
Yeah.
Thank you.
certainly the funniest thing I've ever heard him say.
Oh, I've heard him say some funny shit.
Oh, my
God. I'll explain the other two later.
Cherry pie.
Quick note.
Cherries.
Quick note on Bridget with the cherry allergy.
R. Kelly, the pie allergy.
R. Kelly does a tremendous Southern Belle accent in all of this that should not be overlooked and should have been up for Oscar consideration that year, if I do say so myself.
Absolutely. Oh, God, yeah.
Incredible in the role of Bridget. Okay.
I love how you can't ever determine where it's from, though.
That's the case with anyone who doesn't actually have, like, a Southern accent,
Yeah. It's just, she's from one of these 13 states. Sure. Okay. Let's go with that.
They go like, back and forth between, like, the heavy Alabama accent and then, like, Texas.
And then Texas, yeah. Yes.
Alabama, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, like, the thick, you don't actually move your jaw to speak.
Exactly. It's nonsense.
Shakespeare, move over. Bob Dylan, watch your back. This is my favorite lyric in all of music. Then he slowly looks up at her, and now her face is red as hell.
Why are you singing it?
He's breathing real hard.
No, because it's better if you just read
because it's poetry, Adam, that's why.
Okay.
Moving closer, she says, "Hun, you don't look so well." And then he says, "Move." She says, "No." He says, "Move." She says, "No." Bitch, move. She moves. And then he looks at the cabinet. He walks to the cabinet. He's close to the cabinet. Now he's opening the cabinet. Now pause the movie, because what I'm about to say to y'all is so damn twisted. Not only is there a man in his cabinet, but the man is a midget.
Oh my God.
Ow.
Oh no. Oh no.
Does it have that it just keeps repeating midget until it fades out? Because that's the best part, actually. He says it's midget, and then it just repeats midget.
Chapter 10.
It's a midget. We don't even see the midget. It just says there's a midget. That's wrong, though, isn't it? Like, don't they midget? Right?
Jesus.
Now, I don't think I do not think I'm going out on a limb to say that R. Kelly is not the most socially progressive of men in the world.
No.
But his portrayal of midgets in 2005 is particularly offensive.
Little people.
Little people, I want to be very clear. However, I do find it hilarious that midget rhymes with Bridget, the wife that is having the affair with said little person. And man, oh man, does he play that for laughs brilliantly in the coming chapters. Are you ready for chapter 10?
I gotta get something to drink.
You have a water right here.
I don't want water.
He needs harder stuff?
He wants that Mountain Dew.
He needs the hard...
Hey, Adam. Do the do.
Do the do.
Do the do.
I'm doing the do.
Do the do.
Okay. Another confrontation starts. More guns are drawn. Omar is begins wailing on said little person, and the little person tells him to please stop. The wife tells him to please stop.
Do you want to try that line again?
Take two. The wife tells him to please stop, of course, Omar's not having any of it, because goddamn, if someone makes love to my bodacious Southern Belle, he better be a normal-sized person.
But I was just about to say, he makes a point of being like, this is bad because it's a midget.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Again, particularly offensive.
Yes.
We do not condone the treatment of little people in that way, but goddamn it, that was a great laugh.
And I think he never stops saying midget, too. That's the funniest part.
Yeah.
Like, we know his name.
Yeah.
Yet he keeps calling him the midget.
The midget.
Yes.
The midget.
Like, there's one.
Yes.
Like, there's only one little person, and his name is the midget. Right.
So, midget-loving Bridget runs upstairs.
Dear God.
And she thinks to herself,
really is just wrong, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Oh my god.
She thinks to herself, how do I solve this problem? And she is confronted with a choice. The obvious thing, like all normal people, if their husband was wailing on the midget that I was fucking, would, I don't know, call 911? Or at least someone
that
there
was already a cop on the scene.
Good point. Yes. But I would maybe call someone that I trusted. Somebody that, you know, I don't know. I would need to at least know who was on the other end of the phone. What I would not do is reach into my husband's bag. I don't know what it, somehow there was a, yeah. I don't know where
there
the
was
phone
like
number
his
came
pants
from.
Or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
She found a phone number written down. And guess what? It's the phone number of R. Kelly's home. Yeah. On the other end of that line is Gwen. And here they are once again involved in this story, even though they should not be. And they're playing cards, Gwen, R. Kelly, and Gwen's brother, Twan. They're having a great time. But when...
You can't get over Twan.
Yeah. Great name.
Twan.
Great name.
What the fuck?
Like like Tron, but he has a speech impediment. That's like...
What were they thinking?
What was R. Kelly thinking? There's no they involved in this.
Excellent point.
There's one guy. There's one guy.
You're forgetting about all the other names. Rufus. Sylvester. Gwendolyn.
Chuck.
Chuck. Oh,
good point. Good point.
Twan.
Twan. What is Twan?
It's perfectly fine.
What the fuck is Twan?
I don't see what the problem is there at all.
What the hell is a Twan?
Yes. So, like the Ghostbusters,
I can't do this.
They must answer the call, whoever is on the other line. Okay, when confronted with a problem, they're gonna go solve it. So Twan and R. Kelly get in their cars and drive to Omar's house to fix their midget problem. They pull out a piece. Again, this is not their problem to solve. They're not involved in this in any way, shape, or form. It is far from their concern, and they should not be getting mad about it, but somehow they are emotionally invested in this.
Well, I mean, I want to say, because Bridget does say, hey, I found this number in my husband's, like, pants or whatever it was. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I think Gwen knows it's James.
How?
Because she was the only one that she was sleeping with besides her actual husband. Right?
But it was not James. It was Bridget on the other end of the phone.
Well, I know, but if somebody says, yeah, I found this number in my husband's pants.
Right. Oh, I
pocket.
Okay.
Who was she giving her number out that would have it?
Okay. I like to believe...
It's just that she was just like, that they're all the Ghostbusters of midget assaults.
I know. I like to believe that although these men are very violent... clearly horrible adulterers and people that you generally do not want to be around, they feel a profound sense of responsibility when a stranger calls them with a problem. Sure. That's all. And I think when they heard, like, hey, there's a midget being attacked, like, get in the car, we're going to solve this motherfucker. That's what they do. They barge in to James's home, see the confrontation going on, and a gun is drawn yet again, the same gun that has been in every other scene in this fucking music video.
Yes?
I don't know what to say other than the midget shits himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
which they never like properly address, like it's hinted at, like, yeah, he shits himself, but they never like follow
up on it.
Well,
no, like, no, yeah, they don't follow up, but like R. Kelly says, like, the midget just shit his pants or something like that.
Did he?
Yeah.
No, he says, like, he just shit his pants.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's part 10.
Yes.
So we're on part 11. At this point, Bridget has a double barrel,
shotgun.
Thank you for that. I don't know what it's called.
You were struggling to find the word shotgun.
I know nothing about guns.
It was a double barrel pistol.
Okay, I was about to say pistol, and I thought the wrong word. So
no, it was a double barrel RPG. Let's be honest here.
Right.
I would love that.
That'd be pretty sweet, wouldn't it?
Cool. So she's holding the gun. The midget is explaining that he has a big dick, and that's why he slept with Bridget in the first place. That's why he is called, quote-unquote, Big Daddy.
Big man.
Big man.
Big man. Sorry. Big man. Big man. Big Daddy be a little better. And apparently the midget knows Chuck and Rufus, the characters.
James knows Chuck and Rufus.
He does?
James says Chuck and Rufus.
Is this ever explained?
Probably later on.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't think it. From what we've seen, it was not explained, right?
No. From what we've seen.
Their connection was not explained whatsoever.
To James, no.
All we know is James somehow knows the gay characters. Chuck and Rufus that R. Kelly was introduced to earlier.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he calls Big Man
right.
and Sylvester, who realize they know each other from a club that they go to.
Yes.
And he says, hey, Chuck and Rufus, let's... Which is a weird thing to say to people who don't know Chuck and Rufus.
Right.
That's like if you know Dave and Ted, who are sleeping together, and you call some random people talking to each other, hey, Dave and Ted, and they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's a weird thing to say.
At the end of the day, though, the plot demanded it.
Yeah.
That was it.
I guess.
I am so fucking lost. What are we talking... Wait, so hold on.
What?
I'm trying to wrap my head around how James knows this. Rufus
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't. This has not been explained. Oh, this was an offhanded comment for no reason whatsoever. Yeah, turns out. I'm sorry. The midget is also a stripper. That's how Gwendolyn. That's how Bridget met the midget. At a strip club.
Yeah, how can you forget that?
I know. I'm sorry. It's late, and this thing fucked with my mind. again, more confrontation. Twan cannot wait to shoot the cop. He just kept saying, shoot this guy. I want to shoot the cop. And R. Kelly naturally says, we can't shoot the cop. Nor do we have any reason to shoot the cop. Why do you want to shoot the cop so bad? And why am I so emotionally invested? And why am I holding my gun at this person right now for a dispute that has nothing to do with me whatsoever? But again, a lot of tension in this room. And it seems like a good time as ever to drop the bomb that Bridget's baby daddy... Because she's 3 months pregnant,
yeah.
Is the midget.
Is Big Man. Of course.
End
chapter 11. 11?
End chapter 11, and I believe that's the end of part 1.
No, the end of part 1 is chapter 12.
Why did... Oh, okay.
It, really?
Yes. Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, because if I remember correctly, chapter 12 is back at... Rufus and Kathy's.
Right.
Yeah, that was originally supposed to be chapter 6. But
what?
For some reason, they put that at the end.
Okay.
So, really, the end of the timeline is with the midget.
Is with the midget.
It's like Pulp Fiction that way. It's like John Travolta dying in the bathtub is actually the end of the plot.
Yes.
But they just go back to it. Okay.
Well, why did she need to be pregnant? I was curious about that. Why did that matter?
Because it's a nice little button on the whole thing. Ha ha ha, a midget got this bitch pregnant. That's basically what
R.
Kelly's
thinking.
Whose husband's a cop. Yeah.
Who's sleeping with R. Kelly's wife.
Yeah.
Who's sleeping with the wife of a gay pastor.
Right. And it's just funny. Right? Okay. So part 12, back to Kathy. Kathy is with the deacon and the pastor. There is a lot of arguing going on and a phone call. She makes the phone call, or either Gwendolyn calls her, whatever the case is. Gwen calls Kathy, says, you're not going to believe this, but my husband was out last night with some bitch with a wig on, and I don't know how she knows this. Did she see him?
I believe the term was crusty-ass wig hoe.
Right.
Crusty-ass. How formal.
Yeah. So Gwen was at the club with James... And Gwen saw Sylvester with some crusty wig wearing her.
Okay.
How did she know she was wearing a wig?
I was going to say something bad, but I'm just
going to... Yes, Zach?
No. Okay.
I'm not saying that to be public.
Well, Kathy, in an intense moment of guilt, decides to come clean to Gwen, comes full circle... Remember that wig that I thought was just sort of an offhanded character beat? And I actually kind of like that. I liked the idea that R. Kelly
had... Like it was just a wig.
Yeah, had the woman wearing a wig and that sort of added to her character, like she's a phony, like, but of course R. Kelly is not thinking in terms of character development. He wants that wig to come, Chekhov's wig, if you will, come into play later on in the music video, in the hip opera. That hoe was me, is what she tells her friend. And that right there is the end of part one. Flash forward 2 years, part two comes out.
Is it 2 years? There's... Oh, okay. No, yeah, you're saying. Well, all right. So here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And we can edit this out if we don't like it.
That's fine.
But I'm thinking if we end this recording now,
yeah,
we record the second part,
uh-huh,
and then we can release it all as three while it's still fresh.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's going to be really long. No?
We've done 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, yeah, but don't we want to talk about why we're actually doing while it's still relevant?
No, because I think we do that with Nick.
Okay.
Okay.
You like that?
All right. That works.
Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because well, I'm saying it's we're halfway through, so it's right. Going to be an hour and a half long.
And that's not horrible. Okay. That's not too, yeah. I think we save all of the extra stuff. I think this is just a straight recap, and then next week is part three. And then because Nick will be here, that'll be kind of we can theorize as to why this is.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
Oh, it means I have to save some of my facts for the end. Fuck it.
Yeah, save.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm gonna have to write them down.
Yeah. okay. Part two, chapter 13. We resume with these characters, presumably in the same timeline. Is there a time jump? Is there not a time jump? It's very unclear.
I think at all. See, I want to say there is, because and this is where I can't remember. What is chapter three?
So
Sylvester and Tuano in the car.
Yeah. Rose.
Oh, actually, no. You know what? It's not.
What? Why?
Because Bridget's supposedly still pregnant.
Yeah, but we don't even see Bridget in part two at all. I mean, we see her at the end there quickly. But
okay,
so
we don't even know.
She's not involved.
But Tuan doesn't have, like, a bullet wound in his shoulder. There's no more bandage. There's no...
No, but when they go into the diner, he makes a point to Roxanne and, you know, the lesbian couple. There's a lesbian...
Spoiler.
Whatever. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Anyway... To the lesbian couple, how like they were part of the reason that he went to prison, right?
Yes,
I remember him saying that.
Yes,
so it was chronologically, you know, linear.
Well, yeah, but is it literally like the whole baby daddy thing? The midget's the baby daddy, and then like 2 days later,
or like a year,
they're in the car, and then they go to the restaurant. Or
at first, I thought it was later that night.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought too.
And I just think if we're using continuity as sort of the end all be all here,
it has to be
right.
It absolutely actually has to be like the next night.
It's got to be pretty close to
because of who Sylvester meets in the diner.
Right.
True.
Exactly.
It has to be.
Yeah. It is still a continuation of the story. I mean, it gets into, like, a weird,
yeah,
like, side jag, but it is,
I didn't
right?
think it was, like, nonlinear the way that Pulp Fiction was. I thought it was just, this is the next thing that happens.
No, it wasn't nonlinear.
No, it's... No.
Quentin Tarantino wrote Pulp Fiction purposely in that order. This was, we're gonna shoot the whole thing and just release it in a weird order.
Yeah.
Very
that
different.
That was... No. Yeah.
Okay. Reason number one of why Pulp Fiction and Trapped in the Closet are different. And end of list. part 12.
But yeah, it was released 2 years after. So the first five chapters,
mm-hmm,
were released as one single at the end of one of R. Kelly's albums.
Okay.
And then...
Just as music,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. And then... Well, no, because think about it. Because you really don't need the visuals of the first five chapters.
I would listen to that and be like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. Yeah, no, it is. But... So that people really liked that. So then he made up to 12, and then 2 years later he decided to make up to 22.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
Way to milk that fucker.
I mean, they do. I mean, yes, it is not entertaining to listen to it. You need the visuals to go along with it. Yeah. I think, but it is so. I don't know if it's clear by how I read the lyrics just now, but. He is as literal as you could possibly be with the lyrics. There is no poetry whatsoever in anything. There's not like metaphor or simile or any sort of turn of speech that tells a story in any unique way whatsoever. It's literally, he said this, she said this, now he said this, now she said this. It's literally dialogue.
Yeah.
Written in prose that way. You know, so it's not like a song. So to listen to that on a track to the exact same beat has to be the worst thing ever.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? But anyway, so yeah, chapter 13. So now R. Kelly goes to, he's not at the diner yet. He's just sort of driving with Twan. They are going somewhere. We don't know exactly where.
We don't really know why they're going there.
Right.
So
cut to Rose the nosy neighbor.
Yeah.
Rose the nosy neighbor somehow is back in this story. Who would have thought that, you know, she would become the linchpin that holds this entire plot together. She is looking outside her window, being Nosy Rose,
yeah.
And her husband, played by R. Kelly, in a yeah. fat suit, emerges from the bed, says, "Bitch, what you looking at?" Essentially, quit being so nosy. They get into a bit of an argument.
It's pretty stereotypically old black couple.
Yes, yeah,
absolutely.
Yes.
It's
basically just all of the barbershop movies.
Yeah, that's what yeah. I
in 30 seconds, right? Yeah.
But it's okay because it's R. Kelly doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, that rule never applies. Nothing is good if R. Kelly does it. Donating to charity is not good if R. Kelly does it. All right? Everything is, it's the complete opposite of that rule.
So if R. Kelly cured cancer, it's a bad thing.
Yes.
Because everyone should then get cancer. Yeah.
He's allowed to make that joke. It's fine.
Oh my God.
Yep.
There's anything wrong with that.
No, of course. No. Yeah. Your father has
my father
cancer. Whoa. Okay.
Hold on, you look really confused.
Too real. His father actually has cancer. Yeah.
I thought you knew that.
What the fuck is happening? What the fuck?
Okay, anyway.
Anyway.
Oh my God.
Okay, chapter 14 now. No, Twan arrives at I thought it was
a
warehouse.
Is this 13?
This 13.
Okay.
Turns out he's at a diner. And we're on chapter 14 now, and he sits down at the diner.
Sylvester
does.
Twan's in the car.
Meets up with what's her name?
See if you can remember. Don't tell you.
It is not Tina. It is Kathy.
Yes.
Meets up with Kathy. Kathy has another disguise on.
Yeah, a new wig.
Is she a spy?
I know. Wow.
This is where the movie takes an interesting artistic turn.
Right.
Into, like, detective noir nonsense.
Yeah, like, it's very 50s.
Yeah.
Long trench coat, brim, standing on a lamppost.
The femme fatale, the cigarette smoke that creates this
deep
weird
throat in the garage. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. They begin discussing a plan to reveal that Kathy's husband, the deacon, and the pastor are having an affair. Pastor's the husband and the deacon are having
an affair. The plan already happened.
Which was what?
Which was that Kathy was... The whole plan was for Sylvester and Kathy to go home and for Rufus to catch Kathy and Sylvester.
Oh. Okay. Was this... Now it doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
No,
if
it still makes
make
it, no yeah, sense. Okay.
Is Rufus in on the plan?
No.
Is Sylvester in on the plan?
Yes.
But in on how much of the plan?
All of it. She paid him to do it.
She paid him to go home with her and sleep with her
and have him get caught by Rufus.
Bullshit.
Sylvester knows this is going to happen.
Yes.
Wait, stop. What?
Okay. Stop. No, you stop. Because, okay. Because we all just watched chapter one, and it is very clearly not any plan that goes down.
Yes.
Like, Sylvester is very confused.
Correct.
Yes.
And he does not realize that what's happening when the husband comes home. He hides in the closet in the heat of the moment, and his phone goes off by accident.
Correct.
This is all part of some elaborate scheme to blackmail Rufus?
No, they don't know Rufus is gay.
Right.
They only know, well, Kathy only assumes that Rufus is cheating on Kathy. So then she pays Sylvester to help her cheat on Rufus and get caught cheating on Rufus.
What?
And
yeah, if there's a plot hole in this whole thing, it's right here.
I have a question for you. How does having an affair with someone help you to expose the affair that your partner is having?
Excellent question. Let's ask R. Kelly.
This is fascinatingly convoluted.
I've seen less drastic and crazy plans in heist movies.
Man, I thought Interstellar was bad.
Not since the Joker planned on getting arrested, planted a bomb in his henchman's stomach, blew up the bomb, killing everybody at the police station but himself, counting on the fact that Harvey Dent would save himself from a massive explosion, and Rachel dying in that explosion.
Explosion. You can't talk today.
I'm telling you, man. R. Kelly's got me in a million.
He's got you in a million different directions.
I'm like one of the six women at his home right now. I'm destroyed.
Oh my god.
I like how you just keep sprinkling it.
Yeah. No. No. Not since the Joker has a plan been this needlessly elaborate.
Yes.
But the difference is that it's okay for the Joker's plan to be elaborate, because it's the Joker.
Sure.
Right?
Because it's the Joker, and everything he does is flawless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. R. Kelly's not allowed to be doing this.
So, anyway, the plan worked, I guess.
Yeah.
The plan, in quotes.
Some revisionist history is going on there. When
only a tweak.
Sure.
It's like if you have, like, a loose screw and you just tighten it a little bit.
Retcon, if you will. A retcon. Guy with cronks, that's why I have him in these notes here, calls...
With crunks?
Cronk, yeah.
Cronks.
Cronks? What are those things on your teeth? It's called...
Grills.
No, cronks.
Grills.
No, grills.
They're called cronks, too.
Grills.
They're called cronks.
Grills. No. You can get crunk.
No, cronks.
I've never, ever heard them called cronks.
No.
Ever.
They're only ever called grills. If you pull up something that says grills are also called cronks, I will be amazed. I will shit my pants like the midget.
I'll shit a brick.
Hey, God. This is important.
No, because you get crunk.
Yeah.
You don't have crunks.
Oh, no. No fucking way.
Oh, it's cute when he thinks he knows hip-hop culture.
Yes,
it is. My apologies. Okay, we're...
See, you get crunk, you have grills.
And I'm the one that paid $200 for a Kendrick concert this weekend? Is that what you're telling me? I was the one that knew all the words to Good Kid, Mad City. Hold on, we're moving on. Okay, so
he's giving the guy with crunks.
Crunks, what is wrong with you, Nico?
So much.
It's like you didn't grow up in early 2000s.
I know. So anyway, says, hey, yo. Them bitches that got you locked up, I know where you can find them.
Roxanne and Tina.
The aforementioned Roxanne and Tina.
Yeah.
That I guess Kathy knows by some relation. I mean, I would assume they're her brother. So I'm sure like they're all in the same incestual circle.
I subtly alluded to this couple earlier in the podcast.
Yes, you did.
Very subtly, you know. Gave nothing away.
Evidently, Tina and Roxanne at the diner.
Own the diner.
Yes. Own the diner that our main characters are at right now. He storms in just as Sylvester is realizing that the name tag on this waitress is Tina.
Yeah.
He goes, yo, I'm going to pull my gun out and threaten him again.
No. It wasn't then. Uh-huh. It wasn't here.
Okay.
So.
But he gets up in rage.
Yeah.
He's mad.
No, he's not. So he just says, he points and says, Tina. And then Tina gets terrified. Which, A, how many Tinas exist? And how paranoid is this woman? especially when her name tag says Tina. Like, she's not hiding the fact that she's Tina.
Clearly she's very familiar with this family and understands that at any second they can snap.
So he says Tina. She backs away. Sylvester gets up and says, I just want to talk to you. Tuan bursts in.
All right. Gun in hand.
No, he doesn't own a gun.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, like, that's right.
A very important detail for the survival of these characters, because Tuan would be killing everybody in this story otherwise.
Yes, and then the chapter ends.
Right. There's another confrontation. Then a gun is drawn. They are arguing about, again, some simple operation that goes awry. There's flashbacks to when Tuan and these two women are in a car together. They are arrested. One rats on the other. It's unclear who rats on who exactly.
Tuan blames it on them.
Right.
On Roxanne and Tina.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn around and say, no, it's Tuan.
Right. They're robbing somebody, it seems like. No,
they're transporting drugs.
Okay.
Okay.
There is a cop chase in this flashback. Again, horrible green screen. There's a helicopter that shows up. Man, that got there quickly. Again, I wonder the accuracy of this story being told. There is...
The timeline's funny.
Actually,
makes perfect sense to me.
I have another lyric that I would like to quote from this.
I know which one you're talking about.
Hold on, let me pull this up really quickly.
I still say that, by the way.
It's all the time. All the time.
All the fucking time.
I would just say that. Chappelle Show is... I don't want to spoil.
Okay.
Best sketch show of all time.
Did you not get it when...
No. I was like, what?
Oh, you didn't realize that's what we were talking about. Referring to. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Let
me... Do I just know Nico that well?
I guess.
Yes.
I don't like this.
Yes, we do.
Nico, I need to see other people.
No.
I'm about to pull my Glock on you right now, dude. Like,
Beretta.
I was like, there was not one Glock.
Not a single Glock.
In this entire movie.
Shit. Okay, it's not pulling up. Okay, whatever. He says out of nowhere, I'm Rick James, bitch. Not really sure why.
Yeah.
He just does.
Well, so he's driving erratically, smoking weed. Roxanne tells him to stop, and he just goes, I'm Rick James, bitch.
Right.
I kind of wish he said it like Chappelle.
Yeah.
Because it's clearly a reference to that.
Yeah.
And I mean, how often are you going to hear R. Kelly possibly go, Rick James, bitch?
I'm sure quite often. That's definitely on the curriculum in the cult. That's definitely on Sunday service.
Oh, I miss Chappelle Show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The best. Again, this confrontation ends with another shocking revelation, as do most of these chapters. Tina.
Oh, no. It was in the next chapter. Never mind.
Tina is pregnant.
Was pregnant. Yeah. Because remember, he was in jail for 3 years.
I don't understand.
He was in jail for 3 years.
Okay.
Pregnant with Tuan's baby?
With Tuan's baby.
And what happened to Tuan's baby?
We don't know. But I'm just saying she's not pregnant with Tuan's kid now, because how can that happen? He was in jail for 3 years.
This is discussed in the hip opera? This is actually said
that
in
Tuan's
words?
Been in prison for 3 years? Yes.
No, that the baby, that she had the baby already?
We don't know what happened to the baby.
I thought she specifically said, I'm pregnant.
No, she said, I was pregnant with your baby.
But it's like just a miscarriage?
We don't know what happened to the baby.
And we never learn. Okay.
We might learn later on.
You never know who's going to get brought up again in this
As
thing.
Of now, we do not know what happened to the baby.
Right.
It's like, we don't know how James knows Chuck and Rufus.
Right.
Okay. They just do.
Still unclear.
At the time, she was pregnant with Tuan's kid.
Right.
I wish it was like multiple years went by and she had the baby and it turned out to be Chuck.
That would make Tuan like 60.
Yeah. That would be amazing, though.
We're on to chapter...
That would be a great... It'd be amazing. Sort of come back around, wouldn't it?
We're on to chapter 16. There's an argument about child support, essentially. R. Kelly is waving his gun around some more. Tina begins twitching. It's a nervous tick. Then Tina and Roxanne begin making out. I'm fucking her now, is the exact line. And we're on to chapter 17. In chapter 17, Tuan tells Sylvester, shoot these bitches. He's like, no, you're not going back to jail. And so he doesn't shoot them. And as the two of them, again, continue to make out, Sylvester tells them, you're lucky that I'm into this shit. We're going to leave now. Tuan is very upset, but ultimately Sylvester is able to convince them to leave. And so, that's the end of chapter 17.
So if it were two men, he definitely would have shot them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Or if it was Tina and just some random guy.
Or if it was a
boom,
midget.
Boom, someone would have died.
Yes. If a midget was involved, that dude's that poor man is dead. We know that for a fact. Anything else I'm missing there?
You missed my favorite Tuan quote.
Okay.
When he stomps in Ahsoka, he says, I'm going to go buy a gun.
Oh,
not
right.
Get a gun. I'm right. Going to go buy right. myself a gun.
With my legally registered gun license.
Yep.
I'm going to get a permit for this shit. I'm going to go through all the necessary background checks. And I'm going to
buy a gun.
And I'm going to light this place up with my legally purchased firearm.
Well, no, so he stops in a circle as he's saying, I'm going to light this bitch off.
Right.
Which is a great fucking line. Just in the circle like a child. I'm going to light this bitch up.
He's having such a temper tantrum.
It's fun.
Real anger problems with these two men. We're on to chapter 18. They're back in the car. There's a phone call. There's green screen yet again. There's static in the background on the green screen. There's incredible intercutting. Just incredible editing.
The best I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
The single best. I'll have to agree with you.
Yeah. It was. I couldn't tell the difference. I thought she was actually floating in midair for a second.
Yeah, chroma key has never been more effective.
Chroma key.
Since the Who's Line green screen sketch. there was a great line that I wanted to quote here, too, that I'm not going to get a chance to, but that's okay.
No, go ahead.
It's not loading up. It's being really shitty, AT&T.
Shout out.
Yeah. Actually, no, I'll get to that in a minute. We now cut to the church. We are now in the church.
Yes.
We are reintroduced. Explain what happens here.
Well, hold on. What was the phone call?
I forget
what the phone call was about.
They're just talking about, hun, what are we doing tonight? And which begs the question, if all of this shit has gone down, if this is really 24 and everything's going on in real time on the same day, like, Kathy is really cool after they just shot her brother, after multiple affairs were discovered, after there was a midget confrontation. Like, the first question I would ask when I have a conversation with my husband on the phone is not, we going to the movies tonight? Date night!
Wow, it's only just hitting me how unrealistic this story is.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, and we also get introduced to the idea that his parents are alive.
Wait,
we do?
I remember the conversation now. Yeah, she says that, like, Myrna called, which I guess is Sylvester's mother, and said, basically, yeah, your dad was drunk, tried to attack, and she called the cops, and now he's in jail.
But totally unrelated again to the story.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, hey, by the way. And then Sylvester's like, eh, well, that's my dad. That's daddy. Anyway, so yeah, no, then we're in the church.
All right, here's.
Did you find it?
Yes. This is just like, might as well be iambic pentameter. It's incredible. It's just, it's so, so gorgeous. This is the conversation that the two have. Gwendolyn, baby, we get in a bad connection. The phone's still staticking. Then Gwen says, can you hear me now? No. Can you hear me now? Babe, can you hear me now? Okay, I got you. Good. Nah. Sylvester, where you at? I'm waiting on you. Baby, I'm on my way home to you. Movies or no? Baby, something came up, and I got something else to do. Well, Mana said, what did Mana want? Same old thing, just talking about Dale.
Mona.
What daddy done this time? Drinking and cursing people? Out. She put his ass in jail. Daddy be tripping. He think he be pimping. Well, again, just...
Beautiful.
It tickles my tongue.
Might as well be Shakespeare.
Yes. Daddy be tripping. He think he be pimping.
Actually, ironically, I do believe this was an original quote from Hamlet.
Yes.
It's my favorite lyric since Cobain.
Yeah. says so much about you. Daddy be tripping. He think he be pimping. While Mona say he touch
Myrna.
Her. Mona.
It's not. It's Myrna.
Well, whatever. Says Mona here. While Mona say he touch her, he gone be limping. You know your peoples on the west side be tripping. I'll see you in a minute. Well, hurry up. I'm cooking.
Exquisite.
Tasty.
Exquisite. So,
love that lyric. Okay, we're now at the church. Gospel music ensues. Yes. It's your stereotypical church scene. And we are again reintroduced to Pastor Rufus and Deacon Chuck. There's a pimp in the audience.
Lucius.
More on that later. But that is just established. Rufus gets a phone call. He walks into his office, sees that it's Chuck on the other end of the line. Chuck misses Rufus so much. He is in love with him. They have a very intimate moment with one another in the office. It is an intense moment of passion. Chuck threatens Rufus, saying, I will go to the media and tell him that we're having a gay affair with one another. I don't know what media outlet in Chicago. I don't know if the Chicago Tribune is reporting on the sex lives of local pastors.
They have their own department.
But it's like it's like the spotlight department. It doesn't get any attention. Exactly. They rarely put out stories, but they do intense
damn
journalism.
Good job when they do.
Damn good journalism. Fine journalism. They're reporting on it. It's like the spot. Yeah. but that he's going to go to the media. Rufus says, you're not thinking clearly. And Chuck makes it clear why he's not thinking clearly. We go wide and find out that Chuck is in a hospital room.
Yes.
He is sick with something.
Yes.
And that's about it with Chuck.
Yeah, he just says, I'm in the hospital.
Chapter 19. Now we meet Pimp Lucius.
No, Pimp Lucius. That's the only way it's said. Not the entire thing is Lucius. That's it.
Right. Pimp Lucius. Lucius.
Thank you.
Is called upon by another the church choir leader.
Is
the I don't know what the guy.
I think
that
he's called the minister.
I was just about to say that's he's definitely the minister.
He's the minister.
I would have thought, yeah.
Yeah, minister.
Okay, I'm unclear as to the whole vocabulary.
So much.
You know, between crunk and grill, and I'm all over.
Crunk.
Yeah.
Crunks.
I thought for sure they were crunk.
No, you get
were they
crunk.
Were they gronks?
A reverend.
Okay, he's a reverend.
Now,
who? Again, this is a moment between two characters. Mm-hmm. It's done in song, but in a gospel song. And this minister, or this reverend, prays over reverend, or over Pimp Lucius, saying, Pimp Lucius, you can do it. You can do it, Pimp Lucius. You can
do
it.
Do you have
Pimp Lucius? I have it. You can do it, Pimp Lucius. I just quoted it.
Yeah, it is. You can do it.
You can do it, Pimp Lucius. You can do it, Pimp Lucius. Now, this moment again, between two actors. Wait a minute. Let me take that back. Between one actor, R. Kelly playing both roles.
The Reverend and Pimp Lucius.
Why he decided to play these two, God only knows. It is a R. Kelly orgy.
Yes.
And it is glorious.
Yeah, this is now
the best orgy R. Kelly's ever been involved in, by the way.
Yeah, this is now five characters if you include the actual narration.
Mm-hmm.
It's now five characters that R. Kelly is playing.
And it is. At first, it was R. Kelly was just playing Sylvester and the narrator. Yeah. But the narrator would show up at the same time. He'd be in the closet narrating the thing, even though he's narrating himself. But it's not himself. It's just it's just the narrator.
Yeah.
He was that and then Rose's husband. The angry old
yes
doctor, right
who comes in very
Randolph.
Soon yeah Randolph
so you can do it Pimp Lucius but Pimp Lucius can't do it. He laughs to his miscreant friend
who I think he calls who does he call hold on Bishop his name his the pimp's second I guess in command
sure
is Bishop Craig
right. That confused the hell out of me. like he's part of the papacy or something.
I guess
I was like,
but he's Bishop Craig.
But Lucius goes, I'm not actually here to go to church. I don't want salvation. I don't want healing. I don't want the good Lord Jesus in my life. I'm just here because my cousin's here. I'm going to keep going pimping because pimping is really fun. Again, that's a paraphrase.
But not really.
Yeah, not really. And that's that. Chapter 20. Rose and Randolph are fighting some more. And Randolph is the husband of Rose, reveals that he was just cleaning the church midway during service.
While there's a mass going up. Mass?
Yes. Sort of. Whatever you want to call it. Okay. Service.
Service. While the service is going on, he's in the pastor's office cleaning and drinking.
Mostly just drinking. Yes. He's just there with a duster. He's just sort of like dust and then just taking swigs out of his flask.
This is the place he goes to drink privately.
Yes, the pastor's office.
Because he can't get some peace and quiet at home. God damn it. So he's drinking, and wouldn't you know it? Another human being has just
been... What are you doing, Adam?
There's a spider on my hand.
You are a freak. What is the matter with you? Oh, God. Oh, my God. He's transferring the spider from one hand to another. Would you kill that damn thing? It's not your friend. He doesn't love you. Don't bump the table.
Don't hit the table. Where did it go?
Fine, let the spider live.
So he.
What did it ever do to you,
Fuck,
Zach?
Now I feel like I have spiders on my legs.
Yes. So.
Fuck you, Adam.
So he comes home. Spiders. He comes home.
Spiders. What's that from?
I don't know.
It's from something, though, isn't it?
Maybe. I don't know. I think that's wholly original Adam Hall.
He comes home. And goes, Rose, I got some shit to say.
Yes.
And reveals that he has been trapped in the closet yes. himself, spying on the conversation.
I like how that comes full circle.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Spying on the conversation that we just saw transpire between the pastor and the deacon, tells Rose, yo, the pastor's gay, and he's gay with the deacon, and the deacon is sick in the hospital. Rose is freaking the fuck out. Like, this is some juicy shit. They're talking about a package that was delivered. Mm. Zach, what's the package?
I'll explain after the next chapter.
Okay.
It's Tina's aborted fetus.
It's just getting circulated?
Whoa. Yes. What? Whoa.
Threw it in a box.
Yeah.
Like Moses.
Oh my God.
So that's the end of that, right? That's chapter 20.
21, isn't it?
Gossiping begins. Now we're on 21. In another needlessly elaborate subplot, Sylvester then gets changed into another suit because that's a little more comfortable than the suit he was wearing already.
I guess.
And him and Twan go to an Italian stereotype of a mob boss.
Yeah.
Joey, who is eating... a massive stack of spaghetti.
It's like 3 servings of spaghetti.
Yes. Yeah.
Which made me hungry.
Right.
Kind of made me hungry, too, and I don't even eat spaghetti.
Yeah.
Because you're wrong.
Well,
He's sitting there. R. Kelly is doing his greatest Italian voice, almost as good as a Southern Belle voice, but not quite.
Not quite.
It's up there, though.
It's all close. There. The forget about it.
The forget about it. Yeah.
The O's.
Busting your balls.
Busting your balls. All the fixings.
Yeah, you put the emphasis on the first part of the A. Right. You put the emphasis on balls.
Balls. All of that. Uses the word mooly to describe R. Kelly.
Which is fantastic.
It's not fantastic. That's the N word in Italian.
That's Italians getting away with saying it. Zach, I know. But
I'm just okay.
It's fantastic that he used it.
Yes, it was.
Did he research it?
Right.
Like, how did he come across this?
I wish he'd said mook. This guy's a fucking mook.
This is not going to be the three of us say racial slurs for next 5 minutes, okay? There's no why this thing is going to become, all right?
I wish he said.
All right, and we're stopping with racial slurs. We are,
Okay, please, he said it, and you loved it, because you were laughing hysterically. You love that R. Kelly used it.
I'll explain why I love the word mooly off air. Off air. Can't, will not say why I enjoy a racial slur, but I do. Anyway, this is horrible. This is terrible.
This is why we don't do them late at night.
Yeah, wait, no, man. So anyway.
All the elements are just wrong.
An elaborate plot. Sylvester explains to Joey a way to get rich quick. Tuan is making a fuss, as he always does. Starts getting mad. They take Tuan out the room.
Greatest nickname.
Sure.
LL Fool J.
Great name. Great name.
That was great.
He calls him LL Fool J. He is removed from the room. And an intense standoff goes down between Sylvester and the Italian mob.
And Tuan and the Italian mob. It's two different standoffs culminating in one standoff.
Culminating in one standoff, and there's a big panic. This has gone horribly awry. This is going to end very badly for our protagonists. Well, turns out that 30-second sequence is all a dream, and things are actually totally fine between the mob boss and our main characters. Tuan fell asleep while in the other room, dreamed up that Sylvester's meeting with Joey turned into a botched robbery that didn't happen at all. And, you know, Joe was just like, forget about it. Don't worry. You're going to be totally fine. Enjoy your evening, gentlemen. Be on
Tell Gwendolyn I say hi.
And that was that. And now we're on chapter 22, the final chapter that we'll talk about today. And the only way that I can describe this as Rose, again, the linchpin of this whole thing, who would have thought, decides to start spreading the rumors about the pastor and the deacon. They're not really rumors, though. They're actually true.
Yeah.
She is a gossip in that way. And this is 4 minutes of all of our main characters that we have just seen over the past 22 chapters.
Every last one. Well, except Joey.
Except for Joey. But the rest of them are all there. They're on the phone with each other. And they are whispering gossipy, incestuous things to one another. That's the only way I can describe it. It is the epitome of small town conversations. It is what soap operas are all about. And it is a climax that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, because they're all talking about who might have the package.
Right.
And if the package is actually there.
But we have no idea what the package is.
Well, you guys don't know what the package is.
whoa.
Sure, I know what the package is.
And that is the end of Trapped in the Closet parts 1 through 22. Mic drop. What's the package?
Okay. So, from what I've read.
From what you've read?
This is
It's not like.
This is not revealed in the next
it's
part,
all
right?
I haven't seen after this.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I'm saying from what I've read, because the package is prison slang for the whole package, which is HIV.
This has been Why Is This a Thing? Go to TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, TMT.media, to find more of our stuff. Movie hopping was really fun this week. Adam and I did a very spirited debate of the recent Christopher Nolan film, Dunkirk. It's an hour and a half of us yelling at each other. Not too different from the podcast that we just did.
Yeah, no.
Please go check that out. Nick will be back next week. We're going to dig into this way, way more. Don't worry. We are not trapped. We are not out of the closet just yet. We are still trapped there, just like R. Kelly is. Apparently till this day. We're going to talk about R. Kelly's motivations for making this thing. We're going to talk about his off-screen antics with several girls at his L.A. estate. Is he a cult leader? Is he not a cult leader? Why the hell did he make this thing? More about the behind-the-scenes drama that went into this hip-hopra. And so much more next week as we continue this spirited conversation. My God, did I have a great time tonight. I hope you all feel the same. Tweet me at FunnyNico Tweets. Tweet him at Zach Cap. Tweet Adam.
Again with the pointing.
At some Adam Hall. Nick is at Nick Mario E. I love each.
No, it's at Tacky. Did he change
it again? At Tacky Slacks. You're right. I love each and every one of you. And you have all especially been naughty this week.
Naughty. HIV.